Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine, a sanctuary designed to inspire women on their journey to matriarchy by reconnecting them with their intuition and innate wisdom. Join us as we explore the stories, wisdom, and medicine of women who are claiming this sacred and holy role. Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine. I'm your host, Audrey Thorpe. And in today's episode, I'm going to share why I, as a birth worker, no longer offer placenta encapsulation services to the mothers that I work with. Placenta encapsulation services was one of my top-selling services that I had. Women who I had never worked with before, never even met, would call me literally hours after their baby had been born. Hey, can you come pick up my placenta? I'd like to get it encapsulated. I had a placenta going, you know, pretty much every single week I had a placenta in my home. And it, like I said, it was one of my best-selling services. I myself had my daughter's placenta encapsulated, and I could tell a difference, you know, on the days that I took the pills versus the days that I didn't take the pills. My husband actually would come home at night and he'd notice I'd be really, really frazzled more than usual or really anxious more than usual. And he'd, you know, lovingly ask, hey, did you remember to take your placenta pills today? I'd be like, oh my gosh, no, I forgot. And the next day I'd take it and, you know, I would be able to navigate the world a little bit better. But it wasn't until I really started to track the answers and the responses that I would get from women who I had an opportunity to actually do a intake while they were pregnant. Why do you want your placenta encapsulated? And they gave the same answer I did. I don't want to catch postpartum depression. I don't want to have postpartum anxiety. I don't want to deal with postpartum mood disorders. And like I said, that was my response as well. And okay, that's great. You know, this is something that could help and let's get you taken care of. And it wasn't until I was pregnant with my son, 3-4 years later, that I started to really look at physiologic postpartum care and, you know, honoring the fourth trimester for what it truly is. And it's a rite of passage in itself. And coming out of birth, you can't just take a magic pill and expect everything to be fine. And I'm saying that because I took my placenta pills and I still had postpartum depression. I still had postpartum anxiety because there is no one magic pill that replaces a village, that replaces a community, that replaces nourishing meals around the clock, that replaces feeling safe in your home with your baby. There's no magic pill that can take that can do all of that. But that's what we are looking for with placenta encapsulation. We're looking for a pill that can just fix everything and help me navigate a new baby. And that's not what it is. So when I was pregnant with my son, like I said, I still was on the fence on if I wanted to encapsulate his placenta or not. And I actually taught my husband how to encapsulate my placenta when I was ready and, you know, walked him through all of it, how to do it. And after his birth, I inspected my placenta, I thanked it, I honored it. And, you know, my husband was like ready to go. He's like, yeah, like, let's go encapsulate it. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I'm good right now. So just, you know, put it in a baggie, you know, put it in a Ziploc and put it in the freezer. And, you know, we'll come back to it when I want to encapsulate it. And that time never came. I never wanted to encapsulate his placenta. Now, the difference that I want to preface with these two birth experiences, with my daughter's, my first birth, I was read up. I was studied on everything there was, pregnancy related, birth related, you know, you name it. I could tell you anything about birth and pregnancy. And I didn't even think twice about to study or look into or, you know, try to support myself on what happens after the baby is born. And boy, did that show up for me in my postpartum. I had my mom with us for, I think, a week after my daughter was born, and she left the country for a job. And my husband went back to work, I think, like a day or two after my daughter was born. And that meant that I was left alone with a new baby for 16 plus hours a day. I was significantly undernourished, not just by, you know, actually nourishment, but I was not eating nearly as much as I should have been. I wasn't sleeping. I think I was going like no longer than 4 hour stretches, and that lasted until my daughter was like about 18 months old. I couldn't drink coffee to help with the sleep deprivation because she was incredibly, incredibly sensitive to caffeine. And I had incredibly low breast milk supply, which, again, knowing what I know now, was directly related to what I was eating. It was directly related to my hormone levels. And it was just a horrible, horrible, not just fourth trimester, but really the first 18 months of her life. I feel like I was barely hanging on. And like I said, obviously very depleted, and that manifests as what the allopathic system will call postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. Now, at 18 months, I also had, at 18 months postpartum with my daughter, I also had a pregnancy loss. We were surprised with our second baby, and 10 weeks into that pregnancy, I was no longer carrying our live baby anymore. And after that pregnancy ended, I was also diagnosed with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism, which I don't attribute to the placenta encapsulation by any means. I'm just giving context here. And yeah, that set me on the path of really diving into holistic health, really diving into full root cause and not just band-aid solutions. So fast forward a couple years and I'm pregnant with my son. I'm taking a physiologic postpartum care training that just so happened to coincide with my pregnancy. I actually registered for the course before I even found out I was pregnant. And if that, like, divine timing, oh my gosh. Ugh. Because I was taking this course during his pregnancy, I was able to safeguard my postpartum. I prepared for his postpartum like a freaking Ironman competition. I had it down to a science. I knew how many freezer meals I needed. I knew how many snacks I needed. I had my IBCLC on the phone ready to go. I had a, you know, pre-session with her before the baby came. I knew who was going to be coming to our house to help with my daughter. I knew who was going to be coming to the house to help with dishes and laundry. We worked out, you know, my husband's schedule, so he was able to take off all of his vacation time, all of his personal time, which, I mean, in the United States is like a joke. But yeah, we stacked it all, so I was never left alone with my baby longer than 5 hours at a time. And I didn't even think of encapsulating my placenta at any time during my postpartum, or I should say my immediate postpartum, because of how well I was tended to, because I safeguarded my fourth trimester. Now, I also want to put into, you know, context, he was born June 2020. So this was literally during the height of the pandemic, where no visitors, no this, no that, like nobody could this, nobody could that. And we had to pivot like really big in my postpartum plans. But again, what it boiled down to was I was never alone longer than 5 hours with him. I knew that I was going to have I had my meals made. So if I did need to, you know, make one of my meals during that time, it was quick, easy, simple, warm up on the stovetop and get right back in bed. For my first 40 days, I think it ended up being 42 days is how long I took my extended rest. And I've been called an entitled millennial, and that's okay, because I've lived both sides of it. I've lived both sides of the under-supported, super depleted postpartum, and I'm so happy to say that I've lived a postpartum experience where I was so well nourished and so well tended to that I didn't have to worry about postpartum depletion that manifests as postpartum mood disorders, that manifests as postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And I prefer the version where I get called an entitled millennial, where I take an extended rest. And I honor the fact that it took my body 10 months to grow this baby. It's okay if I take 42 days to rest and truly take in this new baby in front of me and allow myself to receive love, nurturing from the community around me. So that is why I no longer offer placenta encapsulation, is because this is a very new, very modern way of looking at, you know, there's, I used to give the argument also of, like, you know, animals consuming their placenta after birth and, you know, kind of helping to recoup on the minerals that were lost during birth, the hormones that were lost, you know, at the deep plummet after. That's all physiologic. That's all part of our physiology. And there's a reason why it's there. There's a reason why we go through that huge shift. And what it boils down to is how safe do we feel in those relationships around us to go to those places really where we become unraveled and we really have a deep, intimate look at our shadows while we're going through that? And are we able to be held during those spaces? Now, again, I'm not talking about postpartum psychosis. That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother topic or a whole nother time. But what I am saying is, like, the traditional baby blues that, you know, is totally physiologic, normal, physiologically normal, when you're not being supported, when you're not, you know, in right relationship with those around you, yeah, you're going to feel kind of crummy. You're going to feel tired and depleted. That tracks with being physiologic, a physiologic normal experience of that. And I'm very happy to say that I didn't have that with my son's birth. I didn't have that with my postpartum experience because of how well supported I was, because of how well nourished I was, because I was eating around the clock, nourishing meals. I was eating, you know, nori soups. I was eating beef stew. I was eating, you know, chicken livers, you know, animal fats, deep, deep nourishing meals. There's great references that I highly recommend for recipes, which would be the first 40 days. In my opinion, that is like the Bible when it comes to postpartum meals and postpartum meal prep. And then finding a postpartum practitioner that's aligned with you. And I'm not, I don't like the term postpartum doula because I'm not a postpartum doula. I'm not a doula in any capacity. But I highly recommend finding a physiologic postpartum practitioner nearest you. I'll have the show notes. I'll have a directory link in there for you to find a practitioner who's trained in the same modality I am, or I should say trained by the same woman I am. So that's why I no longer offer placenta encapsulation, is because there is no one magic pill that will ever replace the village, that will ever replace a woman being deeply nourished by those closest to her while she's experiencing her fourth trimester, while she's navigating a new baby. There is no one magic pill that can fix all of that. Now, what I do offer instead is placenta alchemy, which is a whole thing in itself that I can go into in another conversation at another time. But what that is essentially is it's a way to honor the placenta, and it alchemizes the placenta into being a form of medicine, and a form of energetic medicine, actually, for the baby and for the mother and other members in the family. It's a beautiful traditional Chinese medicine way of honoring the placenta. And so that's something that I offer for families who are looking for a way to honor their placenta. Because the other part of this too is it's not the mother's placenta. It's the baby's placenta. It's made from the same genetic makeup that the baby is. Speaking homeopathically, the placenta is the only thing on this planet that has the same vibrational makeup, the same vibrational pattern as that baby. So if you're going to do anything with your placenta, I highly recommend making a placenta homeopathic remedy. I'll have in the show notes Jane Hardwick Cooling's link on how to do that. Or make a, placenta alchemy with it and make medicine from it in that capacity. Because again, it's for your baby. It's not for you. It's not your placenta. It's your baby's placenta. And that is why I no longer offer placenta encapsulation to the women that I work with. I would love to hear from you. How did this conversation land? Did you encapsulate your placenta? Did you change your mind about placenta encapsulation during this conversation? Did you get to see your placenta after birth? I'd love to hear, I'd love to hear from you on this conversation. It's so such a fun conversation to have. That's all for today's episode, and until next time, I pray that you are deeply, deeply nourished on this journey to matriarchy.